Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It is from the 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 42. I did not really tell you, isn't it? It is there. Okay, I'm bewildered. There's so many things. Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo. Viraktir Anyatra Chaisha Trikaeka Kala Bhakti Parishanubhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chaisha Trikaeka Kala Prapadyamanasya yatashnatasyus Tushti pushti kshut apayo nugasam Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir Anyatra chaisha trikai kakala Papadyamanasya yatashnatasyus Tushti pushti kshut apayo nugasam Yes, could someone else please chant? Thank you very much. We are a little faster because we have to end at a certain time. Bhakti, devotion. Paraisha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anubhavaha, direct perception. Virakti. Detachment. Anyatra. From everything else. Cha. And. Eshaha. This. Trikaha. Group of three. Ekakala. Simultaneously. Prapadyamanasya. For one in the process of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Yata. In the same way as. Ashnataha. For one engaged in eating. Syuhu. They occur. Tushtihi. Satisfaction. Pushti. Nourishment. Shudapayaha. Eradication of hunger. Yes. Anugasam. Increasingly with each morsel. Translation. These are the three things which are happening on the path of bhakti. You can ask yourself how much they have happened to you or have come to you. So, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So, just to catch the important statement of the verse, when one is on the path of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is, one is not yet there, but one moves towards that shelter. The Sanskrit word sharanagati means sharan, shelter, and gati means to move forward towards. No? So as one moves forward to the safe shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there come a few transcendental, you could say, installments which Krishna gives. He gives us devotion in our heart. Then he gives us something like a direct experience of the Supreme Lord. We can see, well, here I could see the Lord has somehow intervened in my life. And finally, there's also detachment from other things. This happens, and the verse gives us an analogy. When a hungry man sits down to eat, he will first feel some pleasure as he puts a lalaba in his mouth. Then he will feel some nourishment. The ingredients of the food are distributed in his body. And finally, he will say, no, thank you. I'm satisfied. So this no thank you does not relate to bhakti, but it relates to the material distractions. One would say, no thank you, I don't need this. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this analogy as follows. Bhakti or devotion may be compared to tushti. You feel some satisfaction in the heart. It works. I feel something. Because they both take the form of pleasure. Parishanubhava, that is experience of the Supreme Lord, and pushti or nourishment, are analogous because both sustain one's life. You know, just like, I think a devotee like most of you doesn't need another theory, another dogma, another philosophy. In order to be nourished, there comes a time when we really need an experience of the Supreme Lord, not a theory any longer. Finally, virakti, or detachment, and kshut-apaya, that is cessation of hunger, may be compared, because both free one from further hankering, so that one may experience shanti, or peace. When, you know, once the Socrates was found standing before a utility shop in Athens, it's like the ancient Woolworth, you know, where you can get everything you want. So his pupils or students asked, we thought, Socrates, you're beyond craving, but we see you looking into the shop windows and studying the different items that are available. And Socrates said, no, you misunderstood. I'm just enjoying the fact that I don't need all these things any longer. So he felt satisfaction and detachment. And I think we all feel that when we can finally let go of something that we have identified as harmful for our further progress, we do feel shanti, this peace, perhaps a harmful relationship. We have let go of a harmful concept, and we feel just shanti. My dear devotees, I would like to read more about this purport, but I can't, because I have a certain, task to fulfill. I would like this lecture to be connected with our retreat and with a particular point that is important when we start going on the retreat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote two companions to the sadhana of chanting the holy name. The first is Harinam Chintamani, the touchstone of the holy name. In that verse, he says, of all the items in the Lord's treasure house, there is one particular treasure that is the first and foremost amongst them. And that is the Nam Chintamani, the touchstone of the holy name. He has aptly chosen this analogy. A touchstone is that mysterious stone which you can touch to any type of metal, even cheap aluminium, and the touchstone will transform it into pure gold. So the holy name you can touch to any soul, any person, even someone who's not so qualified. But it will change it, change that person into, and give him a golden pure heart, a heart in which Krishna manifests himself. So therefore, this analogy of the touchstones. And in this book, Harinam Chintamani, he tells us about the mythology of chanting the holy name in its initial states. For instance, he deals a lot with avoiding the 10 offenses. He gets from Nam Aparat to Nam Abhasa chanting and to pure chanting, and tells us what is necessary. The book has been written with the literary device. It is a conversation of between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who visits Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, and Mahaprabhu asked Namacharya Haridas Thakur many questions. So, thank you so much. Sorry, my attention is still jet-lagged, so it's not so good. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a further work and which leads the chanter into more deeper states of chanting the holy name, up to having the personal darshan of the Lord, who appears as the holy name and says, "Look at me now! I always was, I am, and I always will be identical with my name. Look at me." And at that time, the devotee will see the sweet smile of the Lord, which seems to welcome him in the eternal association of those who are, what do you call these parikas, direct associates, that participate in the lila of this book. So yes, you can see there is a journey which is described in the chanting. I think you all have a journey to do in the chanting. Usually the journey starts that we like the singing of the holy names. Who wouldn't like singing? I come from Europe, as you know, and we Europeans would always sit together in the evening and sing. There was a piano in the house, and then we would play all kinds of things, including the boogie-woogie from America. And I noticed when there were celebrations like Christmas, we would sit, I would take a violin and lead the boy, the other children, and not so expert, but with some good intention, we would sing. Who wouldn't like singing? The pop culture has stolen our singing away from us and given it to leading pop stars like, I'm not so informed, but Michael Jackson was one, and so on and so forth. But we are singing beings, you know, we human beings. We like to come together in a group, and we sing in a group. So this is how maybe the appreciation of Sankirtan starts. Let's get together, let's sing. But there's much more to come. As you follow Mahaprabhu's advice, you will learn more about the person whose name you chant. I very much appreciated this yesterday when two devotees were kind enough to visit me in my in this cottage where I'm staying, and they immediately talked about the Bhagavatam. Something they had read and something which they wanted to, they looked at it and discussed it. So this is very much Mahaprabhu's movement. He would say that chanting itself must be accompanied by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavatam and from the other scriptures. And as you chant, my dear devotees, at one stage, and you have what you have heard in your mind, at one stage the two begin to come closer. That means you chant Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden, by means of association, I'm speaking of a psychological term here, where the mind associates something which has hurt, you remember a pastime of Krishna. This is wanted. Prabhupada writes that as we chant all of Krishna's form, characteristic, his pastimes, they all become revealed. And my dear devotees, as you continue on this parallel line of chanting and hearing about Krishna, the two come together. Then, wow, the sound of the holy name is Krishna with everything. Some of us here had a friend of another Vaishnava lineage, Syam Das from the Vallabha Sampradaya, and he comes from upstate New York, and he said to me one day, we were in Vrindavan at some Apsara Kund, he said, "Man, New York English, you don't know what you've got in your movement." Yes, what? You have the name, but you also know about the named Krishna. And then, because he has left us, but he said, "You have sambandha. Sambandha is a bond which is there." And he was then reminiscing. He had gone to yoga studios. He's one of those kirtaniyas who have really reached many people, like Krishna Das, Jai Uttal, and so on and so forth. And he said, "You have what I don't find in the yoga studios. You have what I don't find even in my other fellow kirtaniyas. You have the most important treasure, and you don't know it even." I said, wait, Syam, we have many advanced souls in the movement. And then I shared with him what I knew and had understood about this. And I quoted to him Bhaktisiddhanta. I said, "Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the holy name should never come alone, just like Krishna is always together with..." You know everything, Radha, yes. "The holy name must be always accompanied with his Svarup Shakti." Svarup Shakti means his own potency. That is the Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavatam. Because otherwise it will just be a song. It will be like European singing with violins and boogie-woogie and so on. We will hear more about this and will perhaps learn more about this in a little while. But for now, I want to say that it's important that the chanter has the faith that Krishna is identical with the holy name. And once he has this faith, he wants to know who is Krishna. How does he look? What does he do now? What are his activities? And so on. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya, he makes the point that he correlates various verses with different stages of the bhakti journey. It's a little technical, but I want to give the essence here. And the first four verses, Chetodapanam Majanam, we will chant them in the workshop. He relates to Shraddha, the Sadhu Sangha, Vajana Kriya and Anatta Nivritti. No, these stages of bhakti. My dear devotees, no need. If you don't want to overburden your mind early in the morning, I come to an essential point here. The essential point is that just like the Shiksha Stakam starts with seven benefits that tell us the beautiful results of chanting Hare Krishna. They do this. I got lost in my words here. The first verse of the Shikshastakam convinces us by saying, listen, if you chant the holy name, the mirror of your heart, your consciousness, is covered from the thick layers of your conditioned nature, your anattas, your sanskaras. Soon you will be able to see in that mind which is cleansed the beautiful form of Syam Sunda. Listen, conditioned soul, says Mahaprabhu, the chanting does more. It removes all miseries and kleshas from you and stages of sin. Don't we want freedom from misery? I don't know, I think of anyone who likes to have misery, although many have. And listen, there's more. If you chant at that time, the chanting will act like the moon, who with its very gentle rays that act like soft hands opens the lotus of your heart. Your closed heart will become open by the chanting of the holy name. The Vastu Shakti, the inherent potency of the holy name, will open your heart, and in that open heart, all kinds of auspicious things will manifest. Forgiveness, gratitude, all these beautiful qualities of the bhakta. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us seven benefits. Why? He wants that we become faithful. Because the spiritual journey, as we will see, is absolutely dependent on Shraddha. Srila Prabhupada says this. It's only by faith, he says, that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. There was another statement. I have it here for you. It's only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. Now the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. You want to develop that faith. Prabhupada echoes Krishna's own words, who says, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this world. This you have heard a million times. Now we will get a little intense, my dear devotees. There are two types of faith, and I would like to move you this morning by first of all telling you what it is, and you will soon see, as we go through this most uncomfortable and revealing list, that our faith is something we need to work on. There is balat utpadita faith, that's forced faith, we force ourselves to it, and there is svabhavika or natural faith. Two types of faith, forced and natural. maybe try to this, I want to believe this, you know, and by the way, I'm in this movement, and if I don't show any symptom of faith, I don't get prashadam, you know. So how does this forced faith, you could say this, it's almost an imitated faith forms. It forms by copying others. You dress, you have your hair cut, you have, instead of hello, you may say Haribol, and so on. You're copying it. Copying is, if you copy a good thing, that's also good. No? But you can't just stay on the copying copy machine. You were born an original. Do you know this? Don't die as a copy. How does this natural or svabhavika faith form? It forms when you are prepared to go on an inner journey. We leave this. We have a few wise things. You can make a photo and so on. So let us go to the person who is still only copying to perhaps fit in. How does he perform his bhakti? He sees it as a ritual. He gets up, he does all the things without ever feeling the I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and so on. The bhakti of someone who is more natural is done with an awareness, and at all times of his practice, he will try to be aware. I remember in the early days reading a book by His Holiness Satsvarup Goswami, who was sharing, it was one of his reflective books, how he was performing the Mangal Arati. And he, as far as I remember, he was first concerned, I hope I get the words right. You know, I think we all know this is kirtan leaders when hopefully I don't make a slip. I mean, that would be really embarrassing. I'm so long in Krishna consciousness. But then he thought, no, I don't want to just be like this. What does the verse mean, actually, which I chant? He wanted to be more aware. The first bhakti, what is his motive? Well, he wants to tick off a list so that he can fit in. What is the motive of someone who wants to have natural bhakti, not ritualistic, not sectarian? You know, I want to be part of this group, you know, and everyone is in Maya who's not. He is looking for bhakti. Doesn't want to just fit in or tick off a list. He says, I don't want to move on mechanically any longer. It doesn't nourish me any longer. I cannot be myself any longer, and so on. How strong are these different forms of bhakti? Well, the force bhakti is weak. When there is some thing happening in the group which he has joined, perhaps a great disappointment with a person or with certain decisions or with, I don't know, these developments which happen on the human level, then he will lose his faith. He will sometimes even leave the process. The strength of an authentic or natural bhakti is very strong. He has done his inner awareness, his inner journey. He is aware of what are the treasures of Krishna consciousness. He is not just extrinsically following, he has intrinsically my God, I know so many words in English. Intrinsically realized it. And he feels love in his heart, bhakti, something which the world cannot give him, but which the world can also not take away from him, my dear devotees. Because bhakti is the nature of the soul. It is transcendental. What is that? How does this devotee who is first and or who has an imitated form of bhakti, how does he reflect about his life? Well, he is really following a dogma and something which is not right on the way he understands the dogma. He gets dangerous to defend it because it's his life. He has nothing more. Therefore, he needs to fight. The devotee who is more in a snatch on that other side is more in the reflection side. I will go a little, is this interesting for you or is this not relevant? What does Hari Bol mean? You are hungry or what? Interesting. Good. Thank you. I don't speak your language very good, so I need some kind. The devotee who is, I will go here a little quick, is just an imitational person. He just wants to establish a comfort zone for himself. Whereas the person who is into authentic or natural bhakti wants always fresh insights. He wants to grow every day and so on. What is the condition of the heart? Well, the first one is very judgmental. In psychology, I have this from His Holiness Bhaktivedyan Goswami Maharaj, fanaticism is often an overcompensation of one's own insecurities. No? Therefore, he's very judgmental. He is defending a frame which keeps him, in his life. But the condition of the heart of someone who is natural, he is compassionate. Yes, I know this. I know the struggle, my dear everyone, and I can emphasize with you. I want to just, because we could go really long in this, but let's go to the last point. The experience of the one who is forced in his bhakti is usually someone else's experience. What someone else has experienced. The experience of someone who is the natural devotee is absolutely your own. And that's, and here is this important for our lecture, that's why he is very faithful. He has so much strong faith. I have some understood a little bit. This is very important, my dear devotees. If you want to have real faith, I would suggest, because if we, yes, I would also make a photo if I would knew how to do it. We leave it on, and you can then come later, and I need your attention, because now I've come to the point here. This is not so, this is just leading to something. We leave it, and then you can come with your mobile telephone and make the best snapshot you have ever made in life. My dear devotees, Shraddha, or faith, which is based on your own experience, is stronger than, well, he experienced it. In Christianity, you talk about the experiences of the saints, and so do we. We talk about Haridas Thakur and many Rupa Sanatan and so on, because it can help us so much, this example. But ultimately, if you don't experience something in Krishna consciousness, then you will not be able to make these deeper steps in your life, or you will not make the next step. You will be stuck in something old, which was okay 20 years ago for you, as your spiritual journey started at that time, or 10 years or 5 years, but you have not taken growth very serious. In our scriptures it says, real Shraddha, natural Shraddha, based on experience, protects the yogi and the devotee like a loving mother. The loving mother, at least I know from my mother, I had a very loving mother. She has left a few months ago only. And but whenever I was a wild child, I often broke my head or my neck, and in the winter I needed to be regularly saved because I was walking on ice. I was the last one on the ice, and bang, went in and so on. But she would always take me in her arm, and she would first of all understand what is it that why you are crying, and then she would go and cook a special type of German pudding, vegetarian, and serve me the hot pudding, and then everything was okay. Yeah. Yes, Shraddha protects the devotee like a loving mother. But this is not forced Shraddha. Forced Shraddha is necessary in the beginning, but you must be careful that you don't remain on the left, only in the left, what is it called? Left column, yes. Yes, no, middle, you understand? Very important, my dear devotees. And here comes the very, very good insight. There is no process, there is no faith giver that is more potent than chanting the holy name. I will tell you from scripture. Tat di tat tat raja krida jnana gana pradanaya bhaktya sampatyate preshta nama sankirtanotshalam. One develops in love for Krishna by practicing that devotional service whose main ways are meditation on and singing about the many pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant, however, by the sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. Okay, let's stop here. What does this verse say? The verse says, love is developed if you meditate about Krishna. Remember, what were the two things which we are all about? Remembering Krishna and never forgetting. Yes. So this, and then singing about the many pastimes. But all this is only getting life and becomes brilliant by the sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. The holy names are, in other words, taking care of a revelation. You remember the image of Mahaprabhu? They are like, they have a Shakti like the moon rays have the Shakti, who open the night blooming lotus flower, which then begins to emanate this sweet, auspicious fragrance. No? The holy name opens our closed hearts, our forgetful hearts. The verse you heard was from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and there some nice holy names appear. Gokrishna, please sing with me. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda. Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. Shri Ballavi Jivana Radhikesha. Please repeat. O Shri Krishna, O Gopal, Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, O Nanda Kishore, Krishna, O darling of Sri Yashoda, please show me your favor. Please accept me. O life of the divine cowherd girls. O Lord of Radhika. It's a beautiful kirtan. Those who wish to learn it, it's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita 2:4-7. I repeat, 2:4-7. No? 2 + 2 = 4, so you have 2, 4, and there's only a bridge of 3. To come to 7, and then you have 2, 4, 7. It's easy to remember. Good. This process, my dear devotees, will give you strength in the journey of faith because it gives you an experience. It makes your theoretical knowledge, which is like a closed flower, it's already something. It makes it open and you will have realized knowledge. My dear devotees, only if you have this strength of realization will you be able to go through your stormy lives. You will have smriti, an undisturbed mind, even when things are quite disturbing. Prabhupada said something very beautiful on this. As long as a devotee is in the world, he will feel happiness and distress, like everyone else who has a body and a mind. But there's one difference to a normal person who feels happiness and distress. Could you imagine? Not imagine, could you? Do you have a clue? There could be a difference. You also have toothache sometimes. You also feel disappointment sometimes. Like everyone else, because you have a body and a mind. The difference, according to Prabhupada, is you won't be overwhelmed by it. That you just are pushed away from Krishna consciousness. This will happen when you have smriti, a gift of direct experience. You will remember. And finally, on this journey of faith, where you first have strength, smriti, you will have pragya, or realization, where you see the things as they ultimately are. That is, you can distinguish the soul from any other aspect of Prakriti, the world, in other words. This chanting, my dear devotees, is not just a means to get somewhere, but it is also done in the spiritual world at the ultimate perfection. When reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we are extremely pleased to note when Gop Kumar finally comes back into the spiritual world. He comes to Braj, the area of Vrindavan, and he sees on the fields, they are farmers, the Brijabasis, farmers, an old man who is sitting there and who is crying profusely. Because and Gop Kumar sees this brilliant human being. It is described the residents of Vrindavan are looking different from all other liberated souls, either in Vaikuntha or by one thing. They are extremely brilliant, and it's not just a light, it is because of love. Have you seen a loving person, how gentle and soothing is his atmosphere? Oh, I want to be here. I want to sit a little bit closer, if possible. You know, so Gop Kumar sees this being, this loving, brilliant being, who incessantly chants, Krishna, Krishna! Let's hear the text directly speak to us. With some skillful effort, he had to just somehow coax him, I made him speak, and I heard him say, in a choked voice, this town belongs to Nanda, the king of the cowherds, Sri Krishna's father. And as Gop Kumar hears this direct associate of Krishna sitting there in the field sobbing and telling him, welcome here, this town belongs to Nanda Maharaj, the father of whom? Sri Krishna, yes. As soon as I heard those words, I fainted, overcome with delight. Wonderful. So even the liberated souls, or those Krishna souls, do kirtan. So this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's analysis. He says bhakti is the only spiritual movement where the path and the goal are the same. It's not that you do kirtan to get somewhere and then you leave kirtan for better things. No, you will always do kirtan. But in the beginning of your journey, you may do it in a musical get-together fashion. I'm with my friends doing kirtan. And at the more as you continue doing this, if you take one kirtan bite after another, and here we come back to the verse, which has disappeared. But you remember, devotion, realization of the Lord, and detachment from objects separate from the Lord appear all at once in the devotee, just as a person eating simultaneously feels satisfaction. Nourishment, we will experience this in a few minutes, and relief from hunger, no? With each bite, and I think kirtan, I mean, it's not exactly a bite when we chant Hare Krishna, but we take another mouthful of a Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then we listen, and then we take another mouthful, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And in this way, we are taking mouthful after mouthful of, and heartful after heartful, hopefully, of the chanting of the holy name. And then it will give us devotion, realization of the Lord, and detachment from objects. What you need to really understand here, my dear devotees, is a very important philosophical term. I won't bore you with very... Vastu Shakti. It means the potency or power that is with a certain object. Let us use the example of a fire. The fire has the Vastu Shakti that it burns. Or let us use the Kala, the time. Oh, the time has a Vastu Shakti. It moves us forward. Like it or not? I still enjoy this process very much because I'm healthy. But yes, now old age will come. Old age is something for the courageous. If you want to remain active. So the time is moving us forward. It has the Vastu Shakti. So in this way, many things have a Vastu Shakti. And the holy name's Vastu Shakti is also there. It gives us devotion in the heart. It gives us an experience of Krishna. And it will also, believe it or not, all of us might have experienced it, it will give you some detachment from things that you have identified as harmful as your spiritual life, but you just for your spiritual life, but you may lack the determination or strength to leave them behind. So this is why we should all have Shraddha, faith in the holy name. And my dear devotees, this faith, and I believe this was the point of discovery, should move from forced to natural. As a young bhakta, you can go by copy. As I said, Prabhupada said, copying good thing is also good. But you need at a certain time to make your inner journey. You need to go from things you do ritualistically to do with awareness. You need to develop bhakti. Your faith needs to strengthen it, and so on. You need fresh insights. You need ultimately, the last point, experience that is not just someone else's, our heroes in ISKCON. No? It's good that we have heroes. Nothing with this. Please take everything in the right, place it at the right places. No? But you need eventually your own experience. And the holy name, my dear everyone, is Krishna's. I liked our Gauravani. Gauravani, very deep person. No? Gauravani said, for him the holy name is so accessible. Remember when he shared? I said, I wanted to say, man, that's also my appreciation. I'm also thinking, here is a close God, not a distant God. I can sit with him and chant him and again and again, repeatedly, take mouthful or mindful and heartful, these beautiful things are happening to us. Shraddha. Work on your Shraddha, my dear devotees. The causes of your well-being is spiritual well-being is absolutely dependent on your journey of faith. It's only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness, not by anything else. Today we spoke about experience. Do you know where this experience is very much made? It's in the Sangha of like-minded devotees. Therefore, this particular effort, Holy Name Retreat, will work if we all come into this mastermind, if we all, as we go on, open our hearts, if we all are really wanting to do this and go forward. And I think you are a beautiful group. I was really very impressed. So many of you came to the Japa Mandala. Although we had announced yesterday that please, those who are tired, sleep today so that you're not sleep deprived and suffering and so on. But tomorrow, I think we should welcome all of you in the Japa Mandala, which starts around 5, I think 5:50 to 6 is the realistic time. I've come to the end. Ooh, only 5 minutes late. Please acknowledge this. I'm trying. No. I'm just saying. Ordinarily, I'm very late always. Good. Any question to the subject matter? Only the subject matter. If you don't ask the question to the subject, I will go to the next person. Gauravani has the question. We have a microphone for you, Gauravani.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what a wonderful class. I think all the devotees can agree that it's a very exquisite class.
I'm trying.
So my question is just for clarification. So what I'm understanding is that you're saying that to develop from forced to natural with our faith is best done through practicing chanting of the holy name in like-minded association.
Yeah. Jiva Goswami writes in Bhakti Sandarbha about the processes of bhakti that bring bhakti, and he places a considerable amount of attention on kirtan. And there he says, superior to kirtan done alone is sankirtan done with many. And then please listen what reason he gives, why sankirtan is better than kirtan. He says, because in sankirtan, delightful devotional feelings are created. And I saw this yesterday when you all sing Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. Could you feel some delight was there in the atmosphere? Wow, very good. And then when we went to the Ghat, and I mean, that was a magical moment. That was, you can't plan this. When the deities came and they were very playful on the day they spun around, I noticed. They must have danced a few steps. Because you are in the right mood. Now, sankirtan is superior to other sadhanas, including kirtan, because it creates such delightful devotional feelings when done in the right mood. Now, what's the right mood? And here is something which we will deal later in our, we will revisit this. It's a mood of humility, really. And here I will say something to a few anonymous devotees in the crowd. Sometimes we try, but we fail. and we try again and we fail. And we become annoyed and hopeless because of our weakness. But in bhakti, there's often a reversal. A weak person takes shelter. You know, you can always go two ways, the wrong way and the right way. But the weak person says, I can't do this alone, really. I'm trying. We have this quote, we will share with you, a quote of Prabhupada. I'm trying and I'm failing. I can see this. What to do now? He prays. Where's the proud person? Proud people don't pray. They just don't do it. Maybe they do it because he forced, you know, ritualistically copying someone else, tick off a list and so on. But now I don't say that we should become weak to make advancement. No. I'm just saying the beauty of bhakti is it can reverse the things. Why? Because in bhakti, only the devotion to Krishna counts. Knowledge, renunciation, is a material qualification like wealth and beauty. It's one of the six opulences. We value renunciation very much when we are in the forced category and knowledge. But it's a material qualification. A person who has a kapha nature can fast like anything. If you have a pitta nature, the fasting is just impossible. It's a material qualification to renounce food or to do it often. I'm not speaking about genuine renunciation done out of bhakti, where you leave things behind because you want to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. I have addressed this to anonymous people who are sad because sometimes they stumble. I have to address all of you here, therefore I address this also. They took this address. Good. Yes, I see, but I can't identify you. Please, your good name is Prabhupada, isn't it Prabhupada? Priya, yes. We have a microphone for you, Prabhupada, Priya.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. Could you please elaborate a little on like-minded association? Like-minded in what sense? Because there are different ways in which we can consider ourselves alike.
Yes, this is a term coined by Srila Rupa Goswami, Svajatiya in Sanskrit. It means, you know, this is the beauty about bhakti. It speaks to the very advanced level, but it speaks to us also. On the very advanced level, it refers to devotees who are in the same rasa. They are like-minded because they feel they want to serve Srimati Radharani and or Krishna in the Madhurya rasa or other rasas, Sakya rasa. Now, this is very high. Coming down, like-minded is, in Krishna consciousness, is those who have the desire. You know, like-mindedness could be on various levels. In Europe, many devotees are secret football fans. They still root for their groups. I have made a research into this, and so when they are so like-minded on one level, we root for the same football team. That is not what we are looking for. Like-minded is those who like-minded who address that part in us which is for growth, you know, spiritual growth. For instance, I personally like the Vrindavan lovers because we have a retreat center in Vrindavan with Bhujan and so many wonderful devotees, and we want to fill it with life. So, and the whole idea of Braj, where Krishna is feeling so much at home, is very sympathetic to me. But there may be others who are like-minded and other devotee. So I will like this association very much. Mm-hmm. Like-minded in our growth. If you look for a friend, Prabhupada Priya, look for someone who is like-minded, who has the same interest in spiritual growth like you. If you can find someone who is slightly a little bit more advanced, for devotee that should be easy because he doesn't feel himself very advanced. Yeah, so like-minded, a little advanced. And yes, and who has affection for you. So important! He likes you the way you are, not the way you, and so on. He or she, if your Mataji, she likes you the way you are. No? Snikta means affection. Very important. Affection is very important in the cultivation of bhakti. This is not about avoiding only offenses against devotees. No, we should go on the positive side. Liking devotees. Yeah, my dear devotee, you have come here. You have a bebek. I can see you are interested in chanting. Hare Krishna. You know, like affection. Now I have to secretly watch the wristwatch and ask my team. It is time to stop. Why? Because now we have heard about Shraddha. Now we move into the workshop. And in the workshop, we will work with this concept, no? And so on. And we need you all to be there, well nourished, Gopi Manjari, please, you come, Gopi Manjari. This is your part, actually. Gopi Manjari will give us the direction how to move. I thank you very much. It was a genuine pleasure. Yes, because these are important subjects. We need to think. And we will leave this. There's another one. We quoted this. The touchstone of Srinam is equal to you, O Krishna. You have distributed this treasure, house of mercy, throughout the entire creation. There is another verse which I quoted, but but it's also very good. We will put this for the devotees who can make the snapshot of their journey of faith. Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.